Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So the other day, on Amber's birthday, I decided to make a little dessert for her, right? And so I thought, I don't want to make like a big batch of brownies, so I'll just make one of those brownies in a mug, right? You do it in the microwave. And so I looked at the recipe and I decided, you know, I know sometimes Amber will tweak her recipes a little bit, make them a little more healthier, you know, maybe a little less, you know, so rich and sweet. And so I thought to myself, well, maybe I'll do that, you know, change it. That way, you know, it's not so bad for the waistline and it's not overpoweringly, you know, sugary. So I did. I tweaked it a bit. I mixed the ingredients together and when I was done, the brownie, it looked awesome. It looked great. You know, it looked just like it was supposed to in the picture. And then I tasted it, and it was awful. It was absolutely horrid. I didn't follow the recipe, and I screwed it up. And so I immediately threw it all away, and I tried again. This time, I followed the recipe exactly. And to be honest, it looked like it did in the picture. It looked exactly like it was supposed to. And then I tasted it, and it tasted awesome. Should have just done that first, huh? If you follow instructions, things normally go pretty well. And in our gospel text for today, Jesus gives us a recipe for success. He gives all the right directions for sending out laborers into the harvest, for sending his message of salvation into the world. He starts with these words. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. The truth is that there are very few who will profess their faith to the world. Very few who will be bold enough to speak of Jesus Christ. Maybe even think of yourself. Some people are scared. Some people don't know how somebody else is going to react. I just don't know if they're maybe going to get angry or maybe we're going to break our friendship because I'm a Christian. Some people don't think they know enough of the Bible. Well, I haven't read through the Bible enough. I don't know enough to tell somebody else about Jesus. What if they have a question and I don't know how to answer it? And so they think that their perceived lack of knowledge is enough to prevent them from speaking. Some people think it's only the pastor's job, and so they remain silent. But Jesus recognizes in our text for today that the majority of the world doesn't believe. And so what must a Christian do? Pray that the good and gracious will of God is done. That is, that all hear and believe the gospel proclamation of Jesus Christ, crucified and risen for the sins of the world. This might take place as someone hears a sermon in a church, much like today on Sunday morning. It might happen as God sends you out into the world, as you leave this place because the Lord does send you out into the harvest fields to speak of all of the wonderful things you hear about in church, to speak to others who may not know about the wonderful gift of Jesus Christ. He sends this message on your lips that you might spread the gospel too. But Jesus is well aware what this means for you. Jesus says, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. In other words, if you're afraid that you might break a friendship, or if you're afraid what people might think, you should be. You absolutely should be. You will not always be accepted. The message of Jesus Christ is not always accepted. There are difficulties in this task at hand. Because some people, they just won't want any part of your message. And I'm telling you, it won't just be indifference. It will be hatred. They will hate you because you are a Christian. Those who carry the message of a crucified and risen Jesus will be attacked. By Satan, for sure, because Satan hates that message. By the world, and even by our own sinful flesh. You see, that's where that fear comes from. It's because we're listening to what our heart desires. We're listening to the fear inside of us. We're so concerned with our relationships here, and that fear paralyzes us from speaking. It's your own sinful flesh attacking you and attacking the message of the gospel. If these attacks aren't enough, Jesus continues to give instructions. Carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals. These things in Jesus' time would have been the essentials, the absolute least of the necessary things to go on a journey. And so what is Jesus doing here? Well, first, he's sending out his disciples, sending you out into hostile territory. And then in addition, he says, don't take the necessary equipment with you. Jesus, what are you trying to tell us here? It's because Jesus knows the disciples will not need them. The only thing they need to be equipped with are the message that Jesus just gave them. The message that Jesus is coming, that Jesus will be in their very midst. What this shows us today is that our physical possessions distract us from what's really important. You know, we're so concerned with the stuff we have that sometimes we just sort of forget about proclaiming Jesus. We're so concerned about gaining more for ourselves that we just forget about our Savior. And so Jesus says, forget about the knapsack, forget about the money, forget about your clothing and shoes and house and home. The most important thing is the message you carry. Jesus Christ, crucified and risen for you and for the sins of the world. Jesus says, greet no one on the road. You see, the message of Jesus Christ is more important than pleasantries. In Jesus' time, there were a lot of sort of procedures for greeting. Right, things that had to be done. So if you're somebody who's more low in society versus somebody who's higher in society, you know, you'd basically have to stop on the side of the road and wait for the high society person to pass by. You know, there are all sorts of different procedures you had to do. And if you were a Jew who met another Jew, you know, there were certain pleasantries you were supposed to exchange. And so what Jesus says, he says, these things are way less important. You have a message to deliver. And so don't be sidetracked. Don't get distracted by the pleasantries of this world. Be of a single mind. What do you need to do? Deliver the message. That is the most important. Jesus Christ, crucified and risen for you and for the sins of the whole world. Jesus says, whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. Now, we all know the Hebrew word shalom means peace, right? It's sort of a greeting. But that's not what Jesus is saying here. He's not saying just go into a house and say hello. He's talking about the peace that surpasses all understanding. It isn't just a simple, you know, greeting. This peace that Jesus wants you to speak is the very good news itself. Go into a house, go to any place at all, and speak the message of peace. The message of Jesus Christ, crucified and risen for you and for the sins of the world. Now here's where Jesus clues them into another reality of this earthly ministry. And to be honest, it's another reality for us even in our own time. Everyone will not receive the message. Right? He said that at the beginning. He's sending us out as a lamb in the midst of wolves, but some people will reject the message. Some people will hate it. Some people will attack in one way or another. But Jesus says that's not an excuse to not try. He still commands them to go, to speak this message of peace, even if the message is rejected. He commands them to preach, to give everyone an opportunity to hear and believe. And if they choose to reject that message, then they will know God as a righteous judge instead of a merciful Savior. But that's on them. Jesus gives his disciples the charge to preach, to speak, to deliver the message of the coming Jesus Christ. And those who reject can deal with that themselves. However, there are also those, as Jesus tells us, who will hear this message of peace. They will hear the message of Jesus coming for the sins of the world, and they will actually believe it. They'll actually take hold of it. Their faith will cling to it so strongly that nothing will be able to take it. They will receive this message entirely. They will joyfully hear it. And Jesus says that when you find a place that desires this message, you ought to stay there. You ought to continue that conversation. Continue to teach them about Jesus Christ, who is crucified and risen for you and for the sins of the world. Wonderful instructions, aren't they? Jesus sends his disciples to do this, and he sends you to do this. But that's not your role right now. Let me explain. You're sitting here in Christ Lutheran Church on Sunday morning. At this very moment, you are not the one doing the preaching. You are not the one doing the speaking. No, you are the one who is hearing. The one to whom the message is coming. And God has sent me here to you as the messenger of his word that you might receive it in your ears. Jesus has given me the same charge he has given you. And what does he say? The one who hears me, or the one who hears you, hears me. Do you hear these words of a Jesus crucified and risen? Do you believe them? Because I didn't invent this message as Pastor Dunlop. This is the message that Jesus has given me to speak to you. And so today, hear the words of Jesus himself. Peace be to this house. This house of God where the Lord has gathered you for the purpose of hearing his message. Jesus announces his arrival to you this morning. He has come into our sinful world to heal the nations, to bind up the brokenhearted, to forgive your sins. Jesus has lived a perfect life for you. He has laid down that life for you, shed his blood for you, been crucified for you, and he has risen from the dead for you. He has taken your place in sin. He has overcome death and the devil for you, and now he fills all of the heavens and all of the earth. And especially this morning, his words fill this very church. His very presence is promised to you with peace. The kingdom of God has come near to you, and your sins are forgiven. Today, Jesus promises that nothing shall hurt you, nothing shall harm you, for your names are written in heaven. Jesus has promised. He's baptized you. You carry on your forehead the seal of holy baptism. Your name has been written in the Lamb's book of life, and forever you shall be defined by the peace of Jesus Christ, by everything that he has done for you. For Jesus has been crucified and risen for you. Thanks be to God. But now, the time for the sermon is over. And you are being sent out as lambs in the midst of wolves. The most important thing you carry as you leave this place today is Jesus. Any persecution you face is nothing because you have Jesus. The possessions of this world pale in comparison to the possession of a crucified and resurrected Savior. Jesus goes before you. Jesus goes with you as the author and perfecter of your faith, as the Savior of the world, who's been crucified and risen for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.